back to the American Revolution podcast. This is episode 11, The Intolerable Acts. So 2 weeks ago, we threw ourselves a little party. It was at the hands of the British government, and it cost about 92,000 pounds of tea to be dumped into Boston Harbor. I'm, of course, referencing the Boston Tea Party. We then took a week, and we talked about Samuel Adams. Well, this week, we're getting back on track with our story, and we're going to cover the Intolerable Acts. See, when London learned about the Boston Tea Party, it was about January 1774, and demands for a swift action rang out throughout Britain. Parliament would hand down to what they are known as the Five Coercive Acts, but to Americans, they are known as the Intolerable Acts. This would be the final straw for the British government. Passed between March and June of 1774, these acts were meant to smother the fires of rebellion that have been burning throughout Boston. It is also in that time that we see the replacement of the royal governor, Thomas Hutchinson, and he's replaced with Thomas Gage. Thomas Gage also happens to be the commander-in-chief of the British Armed Forces. Now, I'm saving Thomas Gage for a character episode, so don't think that I'm skipping over talking about him just because I want to skip him. I want to save him for a character episode. He's actually a big part of the beginning part of the war, so I'm going to push him back probably a good 5 or 6 episodes until we get close to Bunker Hill, and then we'll talk about Thomas Gage then. So part one of the Intolerable Acts, or the Coercive Acts, is the Boston Port Act. This was a shutdown of Boston Harbor beginning June 1st. It was going to be used against the city of Boston for dumping the tea from the Boston Tea Party until they repaid the money that is owed to the government for the lost tea, a sum that's equivalent to about $700,000 to today's standards. Now, we're going to notice a running theme with many of these acts, and that's that the acts themselves were actually put on to kind of coerce the colony of Massachusetts, and they didn't have the same problems that they had in other colonies. Yes, we had Sons of Liberty running around Philadelphia and Charleston and New York City, but they didn't have the same kind of upheaval that they had with the Sons of Liberty from Boston. Now, the second one is a big one, and that's the Massachusetts Government Act. The act itself basically overturned the Massachusetts Charter of 1691. It was passed May 20th, 1774, and it gave the openly loyal royal governor, Thomas Hutchinson, and soon-to-be Thomas Gage, the power to approve all appointments to the council, plus those of judges and local officials. It also stipulated that jurists would no longer be elected, but would be appointed by sheriffs, who were also appointed by the governor. The third act is known as the Justice Act. It was also called the Murder Act. Now, this is a bit of a crass name, but it basically gave British officials the right to extradite any criminal to England or to another colony for trial. Now, this is an interesting thing. And kind of the reason why it's called the quote-unquote Murder Act is because the government was afraid of a criminal standing trial in his home colony would receive a trial that benefited his favor than if he got one in England or in another colony where he doesn't have peers or family members that would be possibly part of the jury. Now, if you're convicted of a political crime, let's face it, if you got sent to England, you're basically going to be punished by being thrown in the tower, or if the crime is bad enough, being executed in the middle of London. So that's why this one kind of earns the name the Murder Act. Now, it doesn't really get a lot of traction, especially because it really wasn't used heavily when the Intolerable Acts take place. Remember, they're taking place in 74, and the colonies are officially at war by 75. So the Murder Act, there are very few stories about people that are picked up with this act, and all it is just another log on the fire that explains why the Patriots were a little ticked off at the Intolerable Acts. Next is number 4. This was an updated Quartering Act. This is just an updated version of the Quartering Act from about 10 years earlier. Now, it still held the same wording that troops would be billeted in barracks that would be provided for by the colony, or they could be put into extra buildings, but never private residence. But with the updated Quartering Act, it granted General Gage the authority to billet his soldiers in the private residence of the citizenry. Lastly is the Quebec Act. Now, the Quebec Act was passed in June 1774. It actually had no lasting effect on Boston, Massachusetts, or the surrounding colonies, but what it did do was get colonial blood pumping. Why? Well, because it gave religious tolerance to the French, the French Roman Catholics that were living in Quebec. Now, Britain was, of course, a Protestant country and had enforced strict Protestant values on the nation. And it's interesting to see that in this time period that they would actually allow religious toleration. Well, the reason they'll do that is because they wanted to keep those French Canadians from joining the colonials' cause. This really upsets the colonials, not only because they're giving religious tolerance to what would be a ally, at least if you're a patriot, but also for the loyalists, they see religious toleration as an affront because now Quebec is a British colony. They should be converting to Protestantism, not holding their Roman Catholic values. It also did something else that will affect the colonials that are in the western part of the colonies. It joined the land between the Mississippi and Ohio rivers under the colony of Quebec, thus cutting off any chance of colonial expansion westward. Now, by the time the Boston Port Act will actually take effect, Gage is going to be the new royal governor of Massachusetts. It's right after the Boston Tea Party, sometime about June 1774, that Gage happened to be in London with his wife, and he's approached by some members of Parliament, and he's asked to appraise the situation in Boston. Well, the interesting thing is that Gage spent most of his time in the colonies. He's actually married to a colonial woman, and he really feels for the colonial plight, at least when it comes to dealing with the tax issues and the acts of Parliament that are being passed. But he stands firm. He's a good soldier, and he's a strong supporter of his government, the British Parliament. So he stands firm to say that Boston has gotten out of control, and someone has to go in there and solve the issues, or at least quell the violence that's breaking out. Well, that's all they wanted to hear because they offered him the job. So just prior, before the Boston Port Act will actually take effect, Gage will step into his new job as the Royal Governor of Massachusetts. Now, Gage would immediately set out to try and calm the situation. His first step is to move the Massachusetts General Court to Salem. Now, if you're a colonist living outside Boston, the previous acts of Parliament, the Currency Act, the Stamp Act, the Quartering Act, have little effect on your daily way of life. Most of the taxes pertained to the import duty, which meant that you were paying that tax up front. So the guys who were really being hit with the taxes were the merchants, at least when it came to things like the Sugar Act and the tea tax and everything else that had to do with buying and purchasing of goods. Now, the Stamp Act may have been inconvenient for colonials living in the rural sections of Massachusetts, but it really only affected if they needed to use legal documents or reading a newspaper. Now, that didn't always happen. But the Massachusetts Government Act scared the colonists because it really went after their way of governing themselves. So perceived as a threat to colonial way of life, they begin to mobilize their militia. Now, they'll mobilize the militia on a scale not seen since the French and Indian War. At this time, Gage is also seeing what's happening and decides to move 260 barrels of powder and 2 cannon from Cambridge, and he's going to place them in Castle William, which is a fort on one of the Boston Islands in the harbor. and into Boston itself. Now, it looks to the colonists like, well, Gage is now trying to disarm us. He sees us as a threat, and he wants to disarm us. So now we are really getting going. So the standoff ensues. And Gage now has to make a decision, because all over Massachusetts, and even into the colonies beyond, the militias are mobilizing and preparing for what looks to be like a fight. So what's Gage to do? Well, he decides that he's going to pull back from the standoff, and he's going to withdraw all troops into Boston and also onto Castle William, which was in the harbor, and consolidate his forces there, because he was better protected in the city than he would be with small pockets of soldiers all over the countryside. All this does is tell the colonial militias that Gage's authority is now got an endpoint. It ends at the gates of Boston. Now, for the most part, Parliament accepted the coercive acts, but there were pockets of people that would stand up to them because they saw them as a real problem. They believed that to coerce the Americans was only going to provoke a fight, and it wasn't going to end well for the British economy. Ben Franklin, who was in London representing the Pennsylvania Assembly, petitioned the Privy Council. Now, the Privy Council is a group of people who were the closest advisors to the king, a early version of a cabinet for the president. The Intolerable Acts were so much more damaging to the British than they were the colonies. They weren't making any money from the colonies with all these taxes that they're imposing on them, because the colonies are either finding ways around them, protesting them, or my favorite, just smuggling the stuff in instead. And it also makes Britain look like a bully. They're a bully beating up on a small little city on the other side of the ocean. So this has the desired effect for the colonials, because it begins to unify the colonies to begin to aid Boston in their cause. The Virginia House of Burgess would lead the way. And so, on September 9th, in Suffolk County, Massachusetts, the colony would adopt what is known as the Suffolk Resolves. They're written by Dr. Joseph Warren, and it called for the entire colony to cut off all trade and taxes with Great Britain, Ireland, and the West Indies. Massachusetts was now in full rebellion, and it wouldn't be too long before the shots of war will ring out. I'm going to stop there today because as we're getting ever closer, I want to make sure that I, you know, don't go too deep so that I cut off from something else. I didn't cover Gage because I could actually do a full episode on Thomas Gage, and I want to do a full episode on Thomas Gage. He'll come later in the future, probably around the time of Bunker Hill. Now, there's one thing before I exit that I want to just cover and explain why I kind of – it seems like I glossed over it, and I did. I really did. And that's Gage's standoff with the colonials. Now, we're talking about the Intolerable Acts, and I listed out the Intolerable Acts. I explained how they – you know, there was cause and effect with each one. But the standoff between Thomas Gage and the colonials, well, that actually lasts – a good portion of the summer. And as much as I would like to go in depth into it, we're looking at a super long podcast episode. Now, when I started this out, I've said repeatedly that I want my episodes to be 15, 20 minutes, because that's what an average person would listen to while they drive to work. So I don't want to make these things stupidly long. What I want to do is just give you a little bit of the information about each topic and, you know, hope that I do a good enough job that you decide on your own to pick up a book and read about it. Now, of course, when I get to battles, the battles are going to be super intense and super drawn out, and those are going to be multiple episodes talking about a particular battle, and those are probably going to be a little bit longer. My expertise is actually of a military historian, so not so much a political historian. So that's why these episodes are a little bit shorter. So next week, we are going to continue the story, and we're going to hit the, probably one of the first big events in American history, the First Continental Congress. Because now we're moving from a colonial people into a American representative government. And the First Continental Congress is going to be that early step to a American government. So I'm going to leave you guys with a recommendation this week. It's actually a book that I'm currently reading. I actually rather like it. It gave me a lot of great information on the Intolerable X, and this is where you'll find probably a good expansive information where it talks about Gage's use of the Government Act, bringing all the power powder and weaponry closer to Boston, you know, and all another thing that we talked about in the episode. So a good deal of my information actually came from this book. The book is titled The Road to Concord, How Four Stolen Cannon Ignited the Revolutionary War by J.L. Bell. Now, I haven't finished it yet, but if it keeps up with as good as it's been so far, I'm not really worried about a poor finish. So that's The Road to Concord by J.L. Bell. Till next week, I hope everyone has a good weekend. I do want to add one more thing in. Next week, I will not be doing a podcast episode. It has now come time for me to move to the first state in the American Union, and that is Delaware. I will be starting my work as a teacher down there. The podcast will resume 2 weeks from then. I need the week to pack up and get myself ready to go. So I'm actually taking off this week. We're going to come back in 2 weeks, that is, to talk about the First Continental Congress, and everything should be business as usual after that. As always, everyone have a good couple weeks, and remember, keep your powder dry.